It's the Chani Cooking Corner on 101.9 Chai FM.
Good morning and welcome to the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, yes, with a bit of a cold in my nose. And after incredible 2 weeks in London, celebrating my son's engagement, and I can't wait to share my experiences with you, all the stories, the recipes, the families, everything collected on this wonderful trip. So, before I start, let me tell you, you know, every time you go somewhere on an aeroplane, you know that you're going to pick up something. You know the minute you step on that plane, whether it's a slip disc from schlepping the heavy carry-on bag, which actually probably weighs more than the 23 kilos that you checked in earlier, or you pick up a cold from somebody sitting next to you, you're going to pick up something. But I must say, schlepping that heavy bag and fluttering my eyelids at somebody to help me lift the suitcase as a carry-on was well worth it, because I was given a copy of Yota Motelengi's new book, Simple, and another cookery book of his, I can't remember what it's called, and it was just worth that extra, I think it was about 5 kilos in weight. But such beautiful books, I urge you, go out and get them. So, something very interesting, and I know it's not on the subject of food, which we're not going to talk about, because I actually ordered kosher food and it never arrived. Anyway, they apologized. They said, yes, we do have your request for kosher food, but so sorry, they didn't put it on board. Okay, fine, so give me something. They went around looking for cars, water biscuits and apples. So that's what I had all the way home. Anyway, it didn't do me any harm after the amount of eating that I experienced while I was in London. But anyway, something new, back to British Airways. When you arrive at the airport, yeah, we arrive at the airport in South Africa and a lovely person greets you. Hello, how are you? Welcome. Can I have your passport? Can I have your ticket? And if you're a bit overweight, you schmooze them. Oh, please help me out. My son, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, you get to the airport in London and first of all, you have to check in online. Then you get to the airport. There's not a soul in sight. Maybe there's one man to help you lift your suitcase if you look like you could be over 60. And you print your baggage ticket, your regular ticket. And if you're overweight, there's nobody to schmooze in those little navy skirts and white starched shirts. You're on your own, literally. There's one gentleman helps you put your suitcase on. If you're overweight, it's a problem. You've got to pay £60. So whether your suitcase is 3 kilos over, you're overweight. So to those of you who are going, perhaps, and it's damn expensive for an extra suitcase, but it may be worth your while. You know, if you went to Marks and Spencer's and you saw those beautiful pots on sale, that you don't have to put them in your overnight bag. You actually take a separate bag, an extra bag. But anyway, that's just a little heads up on what happens there. Okay, let's go to an ad break and then I'll come back with some little stories.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Absolutely wonderful. So we arrived on the 25th of December, Christmas Day for some, and everything was closed. Of course, everything was closed other than my daughter-in-law's kitchen. And you can imagine, actually no, sorry, it was her mother's kitchen. So you can imagine arriving only to find that your future daughter-in-law has roasted you a turkey. Now, I haven't had turkey, well, since we stopped getting kosher turkeys here. And what a way to a mother-in-law's heart, because I love turkey. Oh, remember when you used to get those magnificent smoked turkeys? Gosh, I wish the spons could do them again. But anyway, I suppose their chicken is good enough. So she got up at 7 a.m. early that morning and started roasting it with onions. and parsnips, which I must tell you, my daughter and I have fallen in love with parsnips. Those are those white versions of carrots. I'm sure you've seen them. Beautiful, crispy, roasted potatoes, all served with peas and salads and desserts like I have never seen. All, of course, the turkey was Jamie Oliver's. So if you go online, I'm sure you'll find his beautiful roasted turkey recipe. And she followed it to the T. If it said rest it for half an hour at this point, she rested it. If it said take it out and do X, Y, and Z, she did it. But, of course, they all know that I'm Yota Motolengi's biggest fan in South Africa. So all the desserts were, of course, his recipes. So there it was, 10 of us. We sat down to eat at 2 o'clock, which was now 4 o'clock in South Africa. Remember, we've just arrived. I am ravenous. I dived into that turkey, and I have to admit, I wasn't shy. And I wasn't shy to take what was left home with me afterwards as well. I mean, after eating that gravy-soaked breast, and I think I ate the whole breast, and vegetables, I was pleasantly satisfied, shall we say. And then began the singing, the dancing around the table, the funny stories the children related growing up. And now, remember, it was the first time we had met the family. But wherever you find Yidden, where you find Jewish people, believe me, celebrating a Simcha is celebrated the same way everywhere. So there we had 10 of us singing and dancing the horrors around the table. I mean, the neighbors must have thought that we were quite confused why we weren't singing Christmas songs. But anyway, it was an incredible introduction to the new family. And then the surprises just didn't stop. Family from South Africa came, surprised us. From America, from Israel, it was just the most wonderful, wonderful Simcha. And it's nothing like surprise arrivals to get that heart and soul dancing. And boy, did we laugh and did we dance. So we moved around in quite a large pack and managed to eat, of course, laugh and cry together. And I think it was the first or second day we were there, my daughter-in-law's sister Leah manages one of Yotam Otelengi's restaurants. And she invited the whole party. I think there were 16 of us from South Africa, all of the travel and the extended travelers, to her restaurant for breakfast. Now, she was devastated because some of us couldn't eat. So those who ate a kosher went for the visual experience. And what a visual experience this was. It actually surpassed anything I could have ever dreamt of. Somebody ordered an omelette that looked like it had been constructed from 15 layers of phyllo pastry. I mean, it was just unbelievable. Their sour bread dough was just flowing in abundance. And there's actually toasters on every table. So you want more sour bread dough, you have with pleasure, stick it in the toaster. Beautiful butter. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if the butter was homemade as well. There were croissants. You could have whatever you want. French toast was just apparently the best that anybody ever had. There was shakshuka. There was jams that apparently really tasted like the fruit. And I must say, the attention to detail was 1,000 out of 100. That's all I can say. As for the salads, walked around the corner. I've never seen anything so fresh, so appealing, and so magnificent looking. You just wanted to try every single salad there. And I think that what I love more than anything is the fact that he loves sharing his recipes, which is so amazing. And I know from background information from my sister-in-law sister that, I mean, it is tried in their test kitchen, I think 1,000 times, until he is 1,000,000% satisfied that every restaurant of his will be able to create that exact recipe that will all taste the same. And then he shares the recipes in his books. Listen, I'm sure we can't get them like him, but we can try. Of course, a breakfast for us was Carmelli's bagel. Now, those who know Carmelli's and Golden Screen, we were actually told by, a friend of mine, Hillary. She said, Sharon, whatever you do in London, get to Golden Screen and go just buy a dozen Carmelli's bagels, because even the next day, you stick them in the toaster and they're even better than the day before. So we had, oh my word, these bagels were incredible. And just the, you could, this beautiful smoked salmon spread, or the exceptional, smoked cheese. I mean, and then chili infused cheeses. My son stocked up his fridge, I must say, with the most beautiful cheeses. The same, we can get them here, but obviously the variety is not as big as it is in the UK, because some of those cheeses are made in the UK. But it was absolutely mind blowing. And oh, the food. After the break, I'll come back with some recipes and some other eating extravaganzas.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Tuned into the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's Wife, and thank you for joining me. It's great to be back after my little sojourn to London, and I've been chatting about that. My son got engaged to his English rose, Hannah, and my second son, Darren, and we're just chatting about the food experiences there. So Sunday we went to my cousins for lunch, and what they had done is they, ex-South Africans, and they had got all the ex-South African family together for Sunday lunch, and all of us that had come through for the engagement. And it was absolutely wonderful just to catch up. Imagine 40 of us all trying to catch up in the past 30 odd years. It was absolutely great, and I must say I have never enjoyed salmon like I had there, and a cucumber salad that I have to share with you before I even carry on, because I'll forget to tell you at the end. So let me give you this recipe. It is for 4 English cucumbers, and the dressing for this is 1 cup of rice vinegar, 1 cup of water, 3/4 of a cup of sugar, 1 to 2 fresh red chilies, deseeded and thinly sliced, depending on how hot you want it. I mean, you can put a few more chilies in if you want, and a tablespoon of salt. Now, I made it for Friday night and for Shabbos, and I didn't have rice vinegar, so I used regular white vinegar. And my daughter said, no, it didn't taste the same. So I do advise that you use rice vinegar. What you do is you peel, then slice the cucumbers into thin ribbons lengthways, preferably not including the seeds. And then you place the ribbons on paper towel to absorb any excess moisture. And then you transfer it to a heat-proof rectangular dish, so that they all sort of lie nice and flat. Then you bring all the dressing ingredients to the boil on high heat for about 2 minutes, sort of stirring it occasionally. So the dressing, I'll repeat that for you again, 1 cup rice vinegar, 1 cup water, 3/4 of a cup of sugar, and 1 to 2 fresh chilies, depending on how hot you want it. And then you pour this hot dressing over the cucumbers, the sliced ribboned cucumbers. You allow it to cool. And at this stage, the cucumber salad can be served. So it's all sort of warmish or refrigerated. Ours was served cold, and it was absolutely delicious. Never mind that it was a freezing cold day. It doesn't matter. It was perfect on that winter's day. And that's that salad. Try it. It really is great. Then I think, of course, we went into New Year's Eve, and Ian, I think we're in bed at 6 o'clock, and watching our favorite Netflix comedians in cars drinking coffee. So Yeah, that's what it's called. Comedians in cars drinking coffee. So remember, it gets so dark at 4 o'clock that you start getting hungry. Your body says, it's dark already. Let's eat supper. And it's only 6 o'clock. So at 6 o'clock, we were 2 hours into the night. And New Year's Day, of course, was a Nussbaum's hot beef day. All the family came over to my son's apartment. And so you're saying Nussbaum's. Okay, so you can't get Nussbaum's in London. So how did you manage to get Nussbaum's brisket, you may ask? Well, yes. Don't ask questions. Just accept that I had to try and impress the Machis. So I took it with me. And it was absolutely delicious. So it was a lovely, chill day. And of course, then we started going to all the places, taken to various restaurants. We went to the Hummus Bar in Golders Green. That was absolutely delicious. I can't remember if that was the next day or the day after. Who's keeping tabs? I was on holiday. So, you know, the meal was exceptional. And it was actually rather a nostalgic one in that one of the most popular dishes on the menu, other than their hummus, which is absolutely superb, is the dish that I was recommended to have is strips of smoked brisket, braised to absolute perfection, served on a bed of creamy mashed potatoes, gravy, sautéed onions, and garlic confit. Now, I mean, this was actually cut quite thick. It tasted like my mother's brisket. It looked like my mother's brisket. And it was absolutely delicious. So that's what we're making for supper on Shabbos. And it's actually quite easy to make. All you need is a bottle of the, you'll boil the brisket first and then you just roast it with, depending on how big your brisket is, boil your pickled brisket, roast it in the oven with a bottle of caramelized onions from Woolworths. I don't know if they call it caramelized marmalade, but it's the big bottle. Anyway, so we're having that for Shabbos. Of course, you can add a little bit of chutney to that as well, but it's simple and served on mashed potatoes and you fry extra onions. Oh, delicious. So, talking about Shabbos. Well, that was quite an experience. Shabbos for us. Shabbos, we were at my future daughter-in-law's grandparents in St. John's Wood. A Shabbos supper where the family and every out-of-towner visiting was included. And what a meal this was. And the grandparents had only just stepped off the plane from Florida that morning. So that Shabbos dinner was incredible. And obviously they're three sisters and they're three very close sisters. And they made this beautiful Shabbos for their daughter and their niece's family. And actually I was quite fascinated. It's quite interesting that the one sister, her name is Dahlia Kramer, received a British Empire Medal, I think in 2017. She's on the New Year's Honours List from the Queen for her services to the Jewish community, this being mainly for the Shabbos Project Challah Bake that she organised for over 5,000 ladies. Now, that's huge in the UK, and in my eyes, that's huge here as well. But to get recognition for the Queen for doing a challah bake, that was the best news I'd heard. So we went to shul Shabbos morning, to the St. John's Wood shul, where a young lady was having her bat mitzvah. And we were lucky enough to have the Maccabees for her shul service. The Maccabees came out. What an incredible service it was. What a treat this was. I mean, but never mind the Maccabees being a treat. The brocha was out of this world. It was done by a caterer who apparently is the best in London, so they say, and his name is Tony Page. And about, you walked in to a huge sort of, I wouldn't even call it a hall. I mean, it was just beautiful banquet area. Just with a display of about 30 tables, okay, with no seats around. It was just buffet style. And along the edge and around the whole hall was a display of different stations with different food on it. So you walk in and there's these magnificent roses on each table. But I have to tell you an embarrassing story. So there I was. I walk in. Rabbis are standing there. And I'm wearing a skirt that has an elasticated waist. And you know all those chiffon pieces at the bottom. As I walk in, not only does my jaw drop, but I stand on one of these pointed pieces of my skirt. And the whole thing falls to the floor. Thank God I had a coat on. That's all I can say. The rabbi stood there laughing. I mean, turn away. No. It felt as though I grabbed two ladies. I pulled them in front of me. I pulled my skirt up and I just ran. I said, show me where the ladies is. Anyway, sorted myself out to come back. And obviously I walked around holding the skirt up all morning. And I have to actually just tell you what was laid, what the tables were covered in. Fish balls. Fish balls like I've never seen in my entire life. They were absolutely magnificent. There were mounds of fish balls. There were mounds like pyramids of bagels, egg salad, smoked salmon, cream cheese bagels, herrings, homemade half-pickled cucumbers. Oh, they were absolutely delicious. Another kind of pickled cucumber. Another kind. A hot pickled cucumber. Relishes. Cakes, biscuits, cheesecakes. Single chocolate mousse cups. Now, this is all on the round tables, and everybody has the same thing on their tables. Never mind what was going on around the tables around the banquet hall. So, they even had the fried fish. Was in, they had like two or three pieces of fried fish in these beautiful these crystal cocktail glasses with a beautiful tartar sauce. And the food stations against the wall of the hall, I mean, there was a smoked salmon station. I've never seen so many accompaniments to smoked salmon in my life. Capers, olives, cream cheeses, like, I don't know, 10 different cream cheeses. A sashimi bar, a ceviche bar, a gucci bar. Anyway, so the ceviche, as you know, is basically in inverted commas cooked fish. Okay, so it's a cooked fish in an acid, such as a lemon or vinegar. And this was delicious. I think they had tuna. They had, you name it. So there was a hot vegetable tagine station. With couscous and white rice and yellow rice and wild rice. And then in the next corner, there was a gelato bar with ice creams and toppings. And, you've never seen anything like it. Then there was a sweetened chocolate station. And then on top of it all, of course, for the highlight for my husband was that it was around the corner from Lord's Cricket Ground, where the late Chief Rabbi Harris actually, I believe, had a permanent seat. So my husband was so excited. He had to take the whole family on their way down to lunch for a look at this at the cricket grounds. Anyway, that was our wonderful Shabbos. And after Shlof, we were allowed to restore our energy for the night ahead. And what a simcha it was. Okay, so you must remember that this simcha, the engagement party was like the wedding for everybody in England, because the wedding is actually taking place in South Africa and they have a smaller family than us. So London was like the wedding for everybody that couldn't come to South Africa. And it started off with beautiful, soft jazz playing in the background. We had the formal photographs, the starters, everything. And slowly, every half an hour, the music became louder and louder. The older generation said goodbye. And the horrors started He said, no matter where you are in the world, a yid's a yid. The aura started and they lasted till the wee hours of the morning from about, oh, for me, it's, I think about 1:30. For everybody else, about 4. So, after the break, I'm going to come back and tell you about the food.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
You're tuned into the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie. This is Chai FM, and we are talking about my little vacation, my little culinary experience in London. And I was actually telling you about the engagement party and the so let me tell you, this is a food show, so I want to share the food that was served at the party at the Simcha. So to start off with, they had baby bangers and mash with onion marmalade in little dishes. Sensational, with these little mini forks to eat out from. Traditional fried English fish and chips. Of course, there was crisps, biltong, hummus, crudité, pita chips, and all that kind of thing on all the tables and all around. There was passed around with these gorgeous, wonderful garlic mushrooms on beetroot blinis. So they're like little miniature blintzes, beetroot crepes. Steam buns, I think they're called pow bows or something, with eggplant and mushrooms in a delicious sauce, mini burgers, tuna sashimi on latkes with wasabi sauce, roast beef and horseradish, they call them profiteroles, but it's like a Yorkshire pudding, like chocolate eclair, shoe pastry, roasted broccoli, dried cranberries, red onion, and dates with an aioli sauce. Then they had caramel vodka shots, American pancake skewers with strawberry, chocolate, and banana sauce. Okay, so the American pancake skewers was the equivalent of our crumpets, and the crumpets were as big as a slice of banana, all on a beautiful little sassati stick. They had mini passion fruit creme brulee. They had fresh fruit skewers, raspberry frangipani tarts. Of course, then they had the cocktails. So, because my daughter-in-law's, future daughter-in-law's name is Eskenazi, I've got to get it right, they had Eskimo Kiss cocktail, mint to be, and hell hath no lurie. So I think one was gin-based, one was vodka-based, and the other could have been tequila. I don't know, I didn't really want to drink because I needed to behave. So that was the Simcha. Then came the winding down, the visiting of friends, and the sharing of wonderful recipes with my friends. And, you know, people say that, you know, you don't have help, so you eat out every night. Well, it's not so true, because where I went, everybody made something for me. So the first recipe that I want to share with you is a fennel celeriac bulb blintzer with trout and beetroot. Okay, now I have to dedicate this to my niece Jamie, who's decided to go the vegan route. Poor misguided child. No, I'm only joking. Of course, Jamila, this is for you, and this was actually served as a starter before a delicious brisket dish, which had a wonderful green coriander and coconut chutney, but we're talking about the fennel and celeriac bulb blintzes with trout and beetroot. Okay, so you will need, have you got your pens and paper? You will need 1 cup of celeriac. Okay, so what is celeriac? You know, you go into the vegetable store and you will see that those big, bulbs, celeriac bulbs, and they've got like lumps and bumps all over them, and coming out the top looks like celery leaves. So what you do is you get the celeriac bulb, you peel it, and you grate it on the fine side of the grater. So you need about 1 cup of that, and 1 cup of fennel. finely sliced. And I've got a recipe for fennel in my, I think it was my second book. And I always see it at Woolworths and I always see it at the vegetable shops. And I always think, I've got to put fennel into my salad. This one doesn't eat it and that one doesn't eat it. You don't taste the fennel. You just taste a wonderful taste in this recipe. Then you need one large potato, grated. You need an egg, 2 tablespoons of potato flour, 2 teaspoons of horseradish. You can use a horseradish. In most homes have horseradish that's in a vinegar or whatever sauce, a bran. Just squeeze out the bran and just use a horseradish. Or I suppose you could use raw horseradish, but it may be a bit strong. Anyway, that and a teaspoon of whole grain mustard. Now, the mustard you can put into the latke if you want, or you can serve it on the side, as my friend did. You'll also need the zest of half a large lemon, and then keep the other half for wedges to serve it as decoration. And then you'll need a large handful of fresh herbs. Okay, so what she used was flat leaf parsley and dried dill. And you'll need a good cooking spray, a good olive oil, or cooking spray for frying the latkes. She used cooking spray and she used an oil-free pan. And that seemed to do the trick. It didn't stick at all. Not an oil-free pan. What am I talking about? A fat-free pan, oil-free pan. So, you'll need also 100 grams of sustainable sliced cold smoked trout. Why she calls it sustainable, I don't know, but it says here in the recipe, sustainable sliced cold smoked trout, which is just regular trout as we know it, the smoked trout, and 1/2 cup of beetroot. You can use the grated beetroot already in vinegar, or you can use plain beetroot. I'm getting all tongue-tied here. Plain beetroot and just chop it up or grate it. So in a mixing bowl, you combine the grated celeriac, fennel, potato, whole egg, flour, horseradish. The flour is the potato flour. You can add a teaspoon of mustard, or you can serve mustard separately later, as I said. 1/2 the lemon zest and herbs. And then just season it quite a bit with salt and pepper, because potato and celery like a lot of salt. Okay, and then you heat your heavy base frying pan with a few sprays of olive oil spray, or whichever spray, oven spray you'd like to use. And then you spoon 2 heaped mounds of the mixture into the pan and fry it over medium heat for about 3 to 4 minutes. Okay, and then you turn it over and you cook it for about another 2-3 minutes until it's tender. Rather cook it on lower heat so that it all cooks through. What she also did was she said to me that sometimes she puts the celery and the potato into the microwave to soften it a bit first. Okay, you don't have to do that, but if you want it really soft, you can do that. And then you just serve the latkes with sliced smoked trout, and you can sprinkle a little bit of the remaining zest of the lemon on, or and serve lemon slices on the side, and chopped or grated beetroot over it, and it was absolutely delicious. So, Laura, thank you for the recipe, and I think, do I have time? Yes, I've got time to share another one. So went off to another friend of mine, and I don't know why everybody was serving me vegetarian food. Mind you, we did have brisket at that house as well. But this is a plant-based meal, I suppose you could call it. And it's a falafel dish in a tomato sauce. And what's nice about it is that you don't have to deep fry the falafel. These are baked falafel. Okay, so you'll need 150-gram pack of falafel mix. You'll need a small handful of fresh flat-leaf parsley, or you can use coriander. I know some people don't like fresh coriander, but you can use that as well. 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 onion finely chopped, 1 yellow pepper chopped, 1 tablespoon of harissa paste, which is easily available now, and about 1/4 cup of dried apricots. So I said, are the apricots so necessary? And she said it just gives it that little lift, but you'll also need to add 1 tablespoon of apricot jam, because that just takes away the tartness of the cherry tomatoes, which you need 400 grams of tinned cherry tomatoes. Then you'll need 1 cup of vegetable stock, hot vegetable stock. Okay, so what you'll use, if you don't have homemade vegetable stock, then you can use a powdered one, about 1 tablespoon to 1 cup of boiling water, or 1 cube to 1 cup of boiling water. And then you'll need about 100 grams of baby leaf spinach, must be the baby leaf. And you will need 2 to 3 tablespoons. In fact, I used, you know, those tubs of tahina that you get, I think it's Salad Farm or Farm or Friends or one of them. I used just 1/2 tub to drizzle over. But we have to go to a break ad. So when I come back, I'll tell you exactly how to make it.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
This is the Chai FM Cooking Corner, and I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I'm sharing some lovely, interesting recipes that I tasted in London, and I want to share them with you. And we are talking about a baked falafel dish, which was served with piping hot pita. We literally didn't use a spoon. We scooped it from the bowl. It was absolutely delicious. I gave the ingredients before we went to an ad break, but I'll just quickly give them to you again. If you've just tuned in, you'll need 1 packet of falafel mix. You'll need 1 small handful of fresh flat leaf parsley, finely chopped. Then you'll also need 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 onion finely chopped, 1 yellow pepper chopped, 1 tablespoon of harissa paste, 1/4 cup of dried apricots, and 1 tablespoon of apricot jam, 400 gram tin of cherry tomatoes, 1 cup of vegetable stock, and 100 grams baby leaf spinach, and about 1/2 tub of tahina. So that's about 1/2 cup. So what you do is you make up the falafel mix, as it says on the box, and you add the parsley to it, stir it well, and then just set it aside so that it sets. Meanwhile, heat the oil in the shallow frying pan with a lid or a pot with a lid, and gently fry the onions for about 10 minutes until they soften, and then you add the chopped pepper, and you fry that for another 5 minutes, and you heat the oven to 180. Okay, then you stir the harissa and the apricots and the apricot jam into the onions, and you cook that for about 2 minutes. You add the cherry tomatoes, and then what you do is you add a little bit of cold water to the tomato tin, so that you can get all the tomato juice out. Then you add the hot vegetable stock, a little salt and pepper, and you let it simmer. While it's simmering on low heat, you divide the falafel mix into 8 to 10 equal portions, or however, it depends on how big or how small you want them. I prefer to keep them smaller rather than bigger, and they really cook through. And with wet hands, you shape them into balls, and you add them to the simmering tomato sauce. And then you transfer it to an oven-proof dish, and you bake it for about 15 minutes. Then you remove the oven-proof dish, pull the falafel out in the tomato sauce, throw the spinach leaves over it, and then cover it, put it back in the oven, and then you leave it for about 5-10 minutes. You just want the leaves of the the baby spinach leaves to soften a little bit. And that's it. And then you remove it and drizzle it with the tahina. And you just serve it with either, it must be hot though, hot pita or hot laffa. Delicious. And that is all we have time for, because it's time to wrap up. I hope you enjoyed the show. I loved sharing all my experiences with you and all the wonderful times and that I had in London. And see you in 2 weeks.